I've been telling you for, well, ever since the November election, this was going to be, and now it is proving to be, the most radical legislative session in our state's history. And one of the things that was really interesting, I watched a back and forth between our State Department of Ecology and one of our state senators, Doug Erickson. You heard a little bit of that in our big lead in the last segment. Senator Erickson joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, always great to talk with you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Dory. Great to be on the show.
This was really interesting. I sat and watched this entire... First of all, it was like tearing out fingernails for me to sit down and watch this 45-minute meeting. How can you do that all day, every day, during a legislative session?
You know, it does get a little bit tiring to be listening to the state bureaucrats go through this stuff all the time. But, you know, it's important work and patience, and somebody's got to sit there and fight for the taxpaying people in the middle class of Washington.
Okay, well, let's talk about what you were fighting for yesterday. So Jay Inslee wants a billion-dollar cap-and-trade proposal. And it was very interesting because they try to sell this as, oh, no, it's not going to cost the people of the state anything. It's only going to cost the companies, the big companies. And I thought some of the things you found out in your questioning of ecology was really interesting yesterday.
Well, you know, they've been working on this cap and trade scheme for 20 years now, you know, in Washington state. So you would think by this stage of the game, they'd have a couple of answers figured out to simple things like, you know, what would this cap and trade scheme do to the average fuel cost for a middle class family in Washington? What would the cost be at the pump to fill up your car, to heat your home, all those things? And they said, well, no, you're not going to pay it. It's the companies that pay it. And, you know, it just gets tiring when they give you answers like that.
Yeah, like companies never pass costs along. Do you have any idea what it would cost the people of this state if this is implemented as written?
You know, it's hard to figure, you know, in terms of what this particular one would do. Other bills, we got a better idea. You know, cap and trade is such a term of art and not science in terms of how you put it in place and who you exempt out. But included in the bill itself is a significant chunk of the tax dollars that would be taken from the middle class people. It is dedicated specifically to be given to lower income people to pay their heating and cooling bills and their fuel costs. Now, it doesn't define what low income is. It doesn't define what a marginalized person is. It just says that a big bunch of this money is going to be reserved to give to them to cover their costs of heating and cooling, their energy costs.
Well, I mean, if doing a little basic math, they say it's $1 billion cap and trade increase. We've got about 7 million people in the state. So that works out to about $142 for every man, woman, and child. That means if you have a family of four, your proportional cost is about $570. But it's worse than that because, as you just said, they also said, well, we're going to subsidize all the low-income people. And of course, it's the middle class and the upper middle class. They're gonna be doing all that subsidizing, and so it's not unrealistic to think between, you know, what it adds to the cost of fuel, home heating fuel, gasoline, the cost of your Uber rides, the cost of getting your Amazon deliveries. I mean, I could see this costing the average family close to $1,000 a year.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, then in terms of, like you say, how it gets passed on through the system down to people. And the other part of this thing, Dory, is keep in mind that the Department of Ecology didn't even understand that companies like oil refineries are what we call in the industry, you know, it's a energy-intensive trade exposed, meaning they do a lot of overseas trade. And Ecology comes in and says, well, no, the oil refineries, they just more localized. They don't really do any of that kind of stuff. I mean, oil refineries are the third biggest exporting industry in Washington state to the tune of about $2 billion a year, which brings wealth and jobs and things back home. So if we shut those things down, ship them overseas, there's another big hole you lose right there. So who's going to be paying the taxes? That tax load goes up on other people as that happens. So.
Well, yeah, and big businesses have proven time and again that we don't operate in a vacuum. If the state of Washington starts taxing them ridiculously, then they're just going to up and leave. And, you know, we've seen that with Boeing. We've seen that with lots of other companies, you know, with Amazon as they're playing other cities against us. They are mobile. And we have to stay somewhat competitive. And that's what really worries me here, Doug, is yep. It seems like radical ideology is much more important right now than realism or pragmatism. And I think that's just setting the stage for disaster.
You know, and everything being included, even in bills like this, this bill actually creates an environmental justice committee of unelected people appointed by the governor to make determinations about what facilities can be built, what facilities can't be built, where the money goes is generated from these things. Again, another chilling impact on our economy. And what really, Dory, here's what gets me, is that they keep coming in saying this is supposed to help out lower-income people, marginalized people. Well, these are a lot of the people who need the jobs that get generated by these facilities that are being pushed out of Washington State. So it's not helping those people, particularly with their upward mobility, ability to have jobs, and those types of things also. And, you know, people I talk to in Whatcom County, they don't want a handout from the government. They just want the government out of the way so they can have the opportunity to go and work. And this stuff, it's killing me. And like you say, this is the most radical session I've ever been involved in. The fence, the wall is still around the Capitol building so people can't get in. We're trying to figure out if Jay is trying to keep people out so we can't come and ask questions about what happened with employment security, what happened in the nursing homes. It's getting bad in, down there in Olympia right now.
Do you know if Jay Inslee has my phone number in case he wants to call and ask me to be on the Environmental Justice Committee?
I will pass on a recommendation. I'm not sure if my nominations will get too far, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. So here's the other thing. I'm talking and corresponding with families, my listeners, every single day. They are distraught that their kids are not back in school. The teachers' union obviously is not going to happen. Let that happen despite what the CDC says, despite what the best scientists say, even the governor says we got to get kids back in school. I just hear almost nothing about that from our legislature. All I'm hearing about is what taxes can we raise? The illegal income tax that they are full steam ahead with, or climate tax that we're talking about here. It's like what matters to the people is not on the agenda, and what will really hurt the people is all that the Democrats seem to be talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think, Dory, one of the things we formed at Olympia is called the Freedom Caucus. And one of the reasons we formed the Freedom Caucus is because we believe many of your listeners, many of those people you hear from, they don't have a voice in Olympia. And we're trying to get out there and provide the solutions to the people about how we can fix things in Washington State. Tomorrow we're doing a press conference on transportation, not about raising your taxes, but using the sales tax on cars and trucks to actually pay for roads without raising your taxes and doing things like that. So we're working hard to get our voice and let people know that there is a place where they do have people in Olympia who are listening, who are pushing to get those things accomplished. We just need to be even more vocal. And I'm hoping that at some point here, the Republicans just are going to say, we got to shut this place down until we get some of these things taken care of.
Well, and what I'm doing more than I've ever done in the past is encouraging my listeners, if you don't want this massive carbon tax, it is Senate Bill 5126. It's up for a vote on Thursday, day after tomorrow. Senate Bill 5126, and you should call the legislative hotline, which is 800-562-6000. Okay, I'll give that to you one more time. Senate Bill 5126, and the legislative hotline is 800-562-6000, and let your representatives, because that's what they are. They are there to represent you, not the special interests, not the radical environmentalists. They're there to represent you. So at least make your voice be heard. Does that ever do any good, people calling the legislative hotline?
It does, Dory. It helps out a lot. What helps even more is when we take the walls down, when people actually come to the steps of Olympia and are able to participate in the process fully and make their voices heard that way. But right now, the hotline is the best, and it does make a difference in direct calls into individuals' legislative offices, the people where you live. So whatever district you're in there, call those particular legislators and let them know how you feel.
Yep, it's time for the people to fight back a little bit. State Senator Doug Erickson, appreciate you fighting on this, and thanks for coming on with me today.
You betcha, Dory. Always fun.
All right. State Senator Doug Erickson joining us. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, it's Dory Monson. I'm with my good friend Steve Teitler from Best Mortgage. And Steve, how has the coronavirus affected your business?
Well, Dory, I'm recording this commercial on my phone. And that's how we're handling all of our business at Best Mortgage. We are fully staffed and ready for your calls.
And Steve, I know you specialize in reverse mortgages, which is a complicated program. How do you like to communicate that to your customers?
Well, even before this social distancing, I've been doing a lot of my reverse mortgage consultations over the phone because, quite frankly, a lot of seniors don't like driving all the way into my office. You still get the same honest advice you can trust in a no-pressure, no-obligation consultation where I discuss all of your options and make sure the reverse mortgage is right for you. And more importantly, I'll tell you when it's not right for you.
Best Mortgage are the ones I trust for myself, for my family, and I know they will give you honest advice you can trust. Give them a call or a text at 425-649-6000. Best Mortgage, 425-649-6000.